Good morning, everyone. It's Sunday the 14th of May. It's a nice day. I think it was a bit rainy earlier, but it's quite breezy and the sun's a bit in and outy, but it's out at the moment and I'm sitting on my swinging seat. I have got a cardigan on because the breeze is a bit cool. We've got a nice blackbird again and some other birds and it's a collared dove, I think I heard just now. I probably should have done this Friday or yesterday, but I just didn't get around to it. This is a talking boo. Hello, you old crow. So if anyone wants to switch off, feel free. I'll try not to make it too long. But this time in May has lots of significant anniversaries for me. Well, three. And I've probably talked about some of them on here in the past, but a few years ago now. So I'm going to talk about a couple of them. The first one is yesterday, the 13th of May, would have been the 25th birthday of a school friend of mine's little boy. Unfortunately, he was killed in a road accident when he was a year old. But I'll always remember him. I remember him all the time anyway, but I'll always remember him because we were best friends at school and we kind of lost touch when we left. We went to different universities and stuff. And then she went to Africa with her partner, her then partner, they're married now, he was working for voluntary services overseas. And I didn't keep in touch very much. I wasn't very good at it. I started out okay. And then another mutual friend from school told me that she was going to have a baby. And she was coming home. The time was nearly up. She was out there for 3 years and the time was up anyway. And she was coming home to have the baby back in London. And my then partner and I had talked about this a lot, and he didn't want kids. He didn't think two blind people could bring up a child. And we did kind of split up over it a little bit, and then we got back together. And then I'd been at a meeting that night with this friend who told me about my other friend who was pregnant, and I got home and I said, you know, she's pregnant, and I thought this is my last, well, it's not my last ditch attempt, but I really wanted to have kids. I never thought I would want to have kids, but when I got to this stage in my life, I felt I was ready and I did really want them. So we agreed to start trying, and I got pregnant straight away that month, which was January 1992. And Connor was born on the 5th of October that year. So this little boy was kind of special to me anyway, because if it hadn't been for me hearing that my friend was pregnant, I didn't know if I'd ever that really spurred me on to think, well, you know, some of my other school friends had kids, and what am I doing hanging around waiting any longer? So we got back in touch by phone and letter, and we sent each other presents for our babies. Well, when mine was born, she sent me a present and I sent her one for hers. And she was living in Cambridge at the time because her partner had a job up there. But then a year, like in April the next year, 1993, it's because I can't believe it's so long ago, she sent an invitation to Connor to go to his first birthday party. And I hadn't seen her for a few years, and I was really excited, and I was kind of a bit nervous as well. I'd never met her partner. And so my husband and I went with Connor, and it was his first birthday party invitation. That's what I was so excited about. First of many, but not to this poor little boy's, unfortunately. So we had a lovely day. It was held in London because she part-owned a flat with her brother in London. And we had a lovely day. We both exchanged each other's babies, and he was completely different. Connor was only 7 months old, and he was heavier, I think. And he was very plump and very, very curly, dark brown hair and brown eyes. And her little boy was quite tall, slender. He had long, longish, shoulder-length, wavy blonde hair and very blue eyes. And he was just... We had the party like 3 days after his first birthday, so on the 16th of May, and he was just kind of standing up and holding on to things. And I remember people's comments. Someone said he tried to eat a banana, and they said... And I remember there was a click of a camera and someone took a photo and they said, oh, we'll have to show that to your girlfriends when they come round. And then he got a big... he went to pick up a bottle of wine off the table and they said, oh, no, you'll have to wait till you're 18 till you have that. And then I remembered all these comments afterwards. And then after we stayed on a bit longer after everyone else had gone, and he sat on the floor in front of me and he went, ba, 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 you know, like babies talk. And my friend said, that's not... His name was Melvin. She said, that's not Burr, 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 that's Mel. And then she said, I suppose people will call you Mel when you grow up. And then we went home, and then 2 days later, her brother rang me, and I thought, what's he ringing me for? Because, you know, I knew him since I was a child at school, but, well, he didn't go to our school, but I knew him, like, you know, when I used to stay with her and stuff. But we weren't in that kind of contact. But anyway, apparently she got knocked down by a tourist who had an automatic car, and she put on the wrong pedal or something, I don't know, I can't really remember now. And she went up on the pavement and knocked my friend down. She broke her ankle, her spleen had to be removed, and she, you know, she had other superficial injuries, but her little boy was killed instantly. And it was such an awful thing, and I still get very emotional over it. Even, it's a quarter of a century ago, I just cannot believe he would have been 25 yesterday. Cannot believe it. It's absolutely unbelievable. But I always remember him because I feel that I always felt like a special connection with him just on that one time. And the fact that I might not have even had, well, I definitely wouldn't have had Connor. I might have had a baby later on, maybe. But it definitely wouldn't have been Connor, because the reason we started trying there and then, because I was heard about that, not because it was a competition, but just because I just thought, well, why not? Let's go for it. And my partner, well, he was my husband. He was my partner then he was my husband, and now he's my ex-husband. But we are still friends because of the kids. So I always remember that. I rather remember his birthday than the other anniversary, which is the 18th of May. So I don't want to talk about it on that day, which is the day he died. But it's 25 years. And I did tell my friend on his 18th birthday that I felt that if it hadn't been for him, I wouldn't have had Connor. And that I'd always remember him. And I do. And I think she knows I do. And I wrote him a little poem, but I can't remember it now. If I remember it, if I find it on my laptop later, I'll say it. I might have said it on here before. But anyway, that's one anniversary. The next one, so that had a big impact on my life. These three things have all had quite a big impact on my life. The second one is, it was the 14th anniversary on the 12th of May that I got Lammy, my little toy poodle. He was a rescue dog. I had been looking for a poodle. I didn't really want a puppy, and I wanted a miniature one, which is the medium-sized one, and he's a toy. I rang up all the rescue centres, and they said that they don't very often get poodles. I think it might be a bit different now, because this was back before all these crossbreeds started to appear, and the poodle is a very common denominator in these so-called designer dogs. You get your cockapoos and your, I don't know, golden doodles and whatever, and your labradoodles and your whatever, I can't even think what they're called, but there's all different poodle crosses and others, but that's a very popular cross. And I looked everywhere in all the rescue centres, and they said we don't get them because they're not the sort of dog that people get rid of, and if an owner dies, they're usually kept within the family. So the poodle rescue in Kent wasn't anywhere near me, and I wasn't able to get down there at the time. My then husband and I both had guide dogs, but I didn't see this as a problem. He wasn't very happy about it. And then my sister, who had a job at the time, she worked for Provident, who are these loan, well, I shouldn't say that on here, I suppose, loan people that charge extortionate interest rates on their loans. And she was a debt collector going around people's houses. And one day she saw this woman out in the street with a Staffordshire Bull Terrier puppy in her arms. And she's, my sister had one at the time. Ooh. Sorry, I've had to run. Ooh, it's round me. It's a wasp. Ooh, it's following me. I think it's gone. It's really following me. I could probably smell my perfume. Has it gone? I hope it's not on me. Bloody thing. I can tell it's a wasp by the sound of it. Has it gone? Go away, you horrible thing. It's gone. Oh dear. Sorry about that, everyone. Go on with flowers if you like. I've got pansies and I've got lavender and other things, a rose bush, but I think that's already flowered because it's in a pot. My roses up that climb up the wall, it's too early for them to flower. So she had this Bull Terrier puppy in her arms, and my sister went over and she said, "Oh, have you got any other dogs?" And they said, she said, "Yeah, I've got the parents, I've got, there's four other siblings and the parents and a toy poodle." She said it like that. She said, "Oh, what, my sister's looking for a poodle. What, why do you say it like that?" She said, "Well, she had seven kids, well, she had six at the time and she was pregnant. They weren't really rough, but they were what I call divvy. The house was clean, but the kids were alive with nits. But that, you know, I mean, anyone can get nits, but you normally look and make sure that if you you don't leave it." But they had these two parents, and Staffordshire parents, and the five puppies, and this poor little toy poodle who was 6 months old. And they got him for their 8-year-old daughter who had learning difficulties, and they said she didn't look after him properly. Well, I wouldn't expect any 8-year-old to be responsible for a dog or a puppy, let alone a little girl that was like 2 or 3 years behind in her development. She was a sweet little girl. But apparently they treated him like a toy because we also knew their neighbours, and they dragged him about on the lead and he wasn't very happy. He probably bit them, I don't know, because he never really liked kids overly. He was all right with ones he knew, but he never really liked strange children after that. Who can blame him in that household? So I was in town with my mum, and there was no phone signal because she tried ringing me. And so she came into the, bursting into the shop. She was looking in all the shops looking for me. This is my sister. Mel, she shouted out, "I found your poodle, a real one, a real one." Because I had all these statues and ornaments and soft toys, a real one. And so we arranged to go and see him that night. And I went with my family, and he was a poor little thing. He was just settled down, snuggled down in my arms. And this was a Wednesday night. I was going away next day to stay with my friend in Peterborough for 3 days from Thursday till Sunday. So I arranged that I would pick him up Monday at 1 o'clock. And it was on Monday morning, I went away, had a nice time, come home. Monday morning was frantic. We went going to buy a crate for him, basket, blankets, collar, lead, all that. It was raining that day, not heavily, but just steadily. And we went to pick him up. And he was just on the lead, ready, with a little pathetic carrier bag of his very few belongings in it, including his pedigree and his papers. They didn't charge me anything for him. They said they paid £250, but I've got a feeling he might have come from a puppy farm. Anyway, he was on his lead. He just got up on my lap and curled up and went to sleep. And we spoke to them for a little while, and then I took him away. And the rest is history. He's been such a loyal, I couldn't have had a more loyal dog than him. He's now deaf, he's got the beginnings of cataracts and a slight heart murmur. He's 14 and a half now. I hope he's going to be around for a few years to come, He's been the most lovable, loving, funny, lovely little dog I could have ever wished for. And I can't bear the thought of being without him, honestly. So that's his 14th anniversary of being with me on Friday. And the last one is a recent one. It was the first anniversary of having my fistula made. Now, my fistula is in my right arm, and it's a vein and artery joined together to form a large enough vessel for two big needles to go in there and take my blood out of my body to clean it and put it back in. It's working fine so far. A friend of mine at dialysis has had trouble with hers. In fact, two of them have. So I'm a bit, I keep dreaming the last few nights that it's not working. You have to feel for it. I don't think you can hear it on here. I will try and let you see if you can. Let me go inside and do that. Oops, that's their water bowl that needs filling up that I always keep outside in the summer. It's sun's quite hot now. I haven't taken my dressings off from my dialysis session last night. So, I'm going to do that. Let's see if you can hear it. To feel it, it feels like a buzzing. It's a buzzing feeling, and I keep dreaming that I can feel it. I can't feel it buzzing. If you can't feel it buzzing, it's usually it's knackered, it's clotted or something. And that's what happened to my friends. They even got one of these portable monitor things like they listen to babies' hearts with at the unit last week, and there was no sound on it, and they couldn't even take blood from her. So she was in hospital from Friday, and she went Tuesday, and she went home yesterday, but she's still got a... They've repaired it, but she's got to go to the dialysis unit. She's got to go up to the hospital to dialyse on Tuesday, so she won't be back. Till later in the week at least. Right, I'll see if you can hear this. I'm putting the microphone right in it. A lot of blood is being pumped through there, more than through other veins. In fact, the reason my friend had hers packed up was because it got so big, it was taking twice the amount of blood through it that it should have been, and it could have had a detrimental effect on her heart. So 6 weeks ago, she went in for a day, she stayed in overnight to have it fixed. They put something in to narrow it, and they've tied it too tight or something, and it's gradually got narrower and narrower, and now it clotted up. I guess this audio boo is not for the faint-hearted. But anyway, I'm just stepping over bones on the floor. Apart from that, it's Sunday. I'm home alone. Connor's gone out with Rosie for the day. Ronan's at work. He's been away for the weekend. He went straight to work this morning. My washing machine's making some strange noises. Why is it making that? Because something's blocking the plug hole. For some reason, it goes down where the plug hole is. And what else? Obi's at work at East Croydon, I think he is today. Ronan's come from Croydon. Just going up to get my throat sweet. Why is that fan still on now? I wonder if the light's on. It's terrible being blind. It shouldn't be on now. Let's see if that turns it off. Connor had a shower hours ago. I haven't had one yet, but that should not be on now unless he left the light on. Well, I'm actually not sure why he would have had the light on in the first place. Upstairs is quite untidy. I need to sort it out. I've got quite a lot to do today, and I've actually not feeling so full of energy as I could. The awful thing is, the mornings that I have dialysis, I'm full of energy. And then, the light must have been on. Listen to that. He's left that light on all that time, because it went off now. It does come on its own if it's humid. Or if there's any steam, it'll come on its own, but even if the light's off. But it's not on constantly like that. Kicking the bones again. Hello, Niall. Good boy. What was I saying? I can't remember. You know what they used to say when we were kids? If we said we couldn't remember, they used to say it must have been a lie. It obviously wasn't. I'm going to sneeze. I'm suffering with a bit of hay fever. Or something. I don't think it's the grass. It's something else in the atmosphere. Oh, it's 12 o'clock. I thought my clock was broken, but it isn't. But it's not chiming, so I've got to sort that out. The pendulum came off. And it came to bits. But I thought it had snapped. I thought the rod on it had snapped. It hadn't. You know, I thought where it fixed back on, it was broken, but it wasn't. Right, let's see. I wound it up today. Let me see if I can get this working, this chiming thing. Come on. It isn't good. I hope it's not broken. We'll have to wait and see. No, it's not. Speed up a bit, mate. Oh dear. It'll probably be all right next time. Oops. I had poached egg on toast for my breakfast at about 10 o'clock. And very nice it was too. And a cup of tea. Has the sun gone in now? It has a little bit. Oh, and wouldn't you know it? Why do people's car alarms always go off on Sundays? Actually, it could be a burglar alarm. Nice. I'll put my cardigan back on. It got so hot out there that I could have left it off, but if I'm going to sit out there, I need it on. I should be doing a roast dinner later. It's chicken. I don't know what Ronan and I are going to have, something vegetarian. Chicken, roast potatoes, stuffing. Yorkshire pudding. I know you don't have that with chicken really, but we have it with everything. Parsnips, swede, runner beans, carrots and peas or something like that. Something along those lines. I'm not doing it yet though, I'll do it. I'll start it about 2:30. I made tuna pasta bake yesterday, and the summer that I might have a little bit of that for my lunch, just a tiny bit, and freeze the rest of it. Oh, the sun's back out now, because I put my cardigan back on. Anyway, I'll sit out here for a while. I would like nothing more now than a nice cup of coffee out here, but I haven't had any coffee since October. And it's Sunday anyway, so I've got an extra day to go. I could have a cup of tea, I shouldn't. Oh, it's so lovely out here. Except for that bloody noise. Listen to it. It might be in the school. It makes me laugh when these alarms go off. Why do people ignore them like that? Especially if it's a car alarm, because 9 times out of 10, if your car's there, you are. Talking of which, Connor's car's still at the garage. So he took a few days off. That's why he's been here. And I don't know what he's going to do tomorrow. If they don't finish it tomorrow, I think they're going to give him a courtesy car. They said it's given them terrible brain strain to find out what's wrong with it. Please turn your alarm off. Anyway, folks, I think I've gone on long enough. So I'll speak to you soon.
Speak on. Say, an expensive afternoon. Like, Lammy misbehaving while I give the chief any misbehaving. Good morning. You were done. Pause recording. Button.